You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's Vegas. It's rock. It's dogs. It's Vegas Rock Dog Radio. A rock and roll show all about pets, people, and pop culture. Stand by for great guests and cool advice all in one rocking hour. The phone lines are open at 702-483-4444. That's 702-483-4444. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is the rock and roll queen of dogs, Sam.
Hello, everyone. We're already starting the show having a good laugh, because that's what me and Mike does. Yep. Well, does. That doesn't sound like it's English, does it?
What we did done, does.
Well, if you are tuning in right now, you are listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio, a rock and roll show all about pets, people, and pop culture. And I am Sam. I am your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs. And I need to get my teeth in right this morning so I can pronounce the rest of the show properly, some of the words coming up. And like I said, we're live from Las Vegas. It's a beautiful day here. And we're going to have a great show today, a really, really great show. And we had a couple of little technical difficulties before the show, but we are on the right page. And before we actually get started, because today's show is going to be, of course, we always have fun when we have the show, but it's also going to be full of very useful information. You're going to love my guest today. So before we get started, let me tell you where you can find us on the internet. And our main website is VegasRockDogRadio.com. That's the hub. Our Ustream, we're not streaming today though, is the reason I decide whether I'm going to stream or not is whether my hair looks bad or not. No, I'm not that shallow. I'm not that shallow. I've just got some problems with all my equipment, as we like to say. So I'm going to figure some stuff out for Ustream. But you can look at an archive show on Ustream by going to ustream.tv. The channel is Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Our Facebook page, if you love Facebook, is Vegas Rock Dog Radio. The Twitter account is Vegas Rock Dog Show, no W on the end. The call-in number is 702-483-4444. And like I said, you're listening live, and we are live on Vegas All Net Radio, which is part of Lotus Broadcasting. Our Instagram account is Vegas Rock Dog. Rock and roll clothing for you and your dog is VegasRockDog.com. And our blog is TheRockAndRollDog.com. Google Plus, Sam Ratcliffe, you'll find me there. And we do have our own app for the show, and you'll go to yap.us, yap, yapp.us, and you'll download the app, and then you'll download our show. And that's it. I'm not getting on. That's the end of that. Too much social media.
Oh, you forgot one.
Which one?
Our brand new phone apps here for Vegas All Net Radio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, if you actually go to my, just go to VegasAllNetRadio.com, you'll see exactly where you can download the Apple app and the
Android.
The Android app.
Android app, go to Google Store, type in VNR, 90 seconds, it's in there. Apple Store for your iPhones, 90 seconds, it's in there, free.
And it works great.
And it's free.
At least we love free. We love free. It works great. I've got listeners from all over the world that use the app. They find it so easy to use the app. And it's great because they tell you, which is nice. You know, they go, oh, yeah, I just landed on it. It works great. I'm like, yay, that's good. Because also if you do that, then it's easy to go back and listen on some archive shows too. And it's right on your phone. You don't have to go through the internet and all that stuff. So
great thing.
Isn't that amazing how technology has just come so far?
Sometimes I worry if the technology has out-jumped us.
Yeah.
Is the technology so far ahead of us?
It's unbelievable. I mean, I went to a library 2 weeks ago. That was the strangest experience. I haven't been in a library in forever. It was like books. Oh my gosh, real books. You know, it's paper. Well, it's great.
I got my library card.
Oh, you got your
right
library
there.
Card. You're a library goer. Well, we went in. They had a book sale, actually. They have these sales where they have the plastic shopping bags there from the grocery store. And you fill up a bag for $4. And I walked away with some fantastic books for $4 in that plastic bag. You just have to look out for when they have those sales.
My wife's listening to the show. Don't get any ideas, honey.
She'll show up with 10 bags. But yeah, we got some really, really, really great books. And my husband did, because he found some books on music. I've forgotten who it was. I think it was on composers. I mean, that's peanuts for great books, you know. So that's how we digress in the show. I don't know how we got there. Anyway, before we talk to our guests, and I know they're listening in right now, I'm going to give you our tip of the week. Here we go. And this is a good one. This is a good one. Pet food has become more and more advanced and has certainly improved as far as quality and nutritional value over the years. There was a time when there was like one dog food you could get, you know, but now it's amazing. There's a huge, wide variety of foods from which to choose from, depending on what your pet's needs are. You've got your wheat-free, your potato-free, you've got foods that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, you've got diets for seniors, the list goes on. What I'm finding now is that pet parents are taking the time to understand a little bit more about diets and are choosing to change foods to improve their pet's health. And changing over to a new diet should be done with care and planning and over a period of time. This is going to help your pet by preventing stomach upsets, diarrhea and vomiting, which none of us need in the house. And they're all very, very common symptoms of switching foods too quickly. And so here's a very, very easy way to do it. And a lot of people are changing these diets for many, many reasons. One of them, food allergies. I've done that a couple of times with my Jack Russell. Potatoes make her itch. Wheat makes her itch. So now we found a food that doesn't have any of those in it, which is perfect. Some pets need a therapeutic diet. So it's, you know, it depends on what you're looking for. But the method of actually transferring over to a different food is the same for everyone. So without a transition period, you can certainly expect to probably have some accidents in the house, maybe. And a lot of people will then just not bother with the new food, but it's because they did it too quickly. And so this is how you're going to do it. Really easy. Take 10 days. 10 days. And on days 1, 2, and 3, take 75% of the old food and 25% of the new food and feed your pet that for 3 days. You might see them like leave out the new stuff. like my dog's a little bit like that. They know what's old and what's new. Or they may just go, oh, let's leave the old stuff. The new stuff's kind of good. And then on days 3, 4, and 5, you're actually going to go 50-50, old food and new food. Days 6, 7, days 7, 8, and 9, you're going to flip it, and you're going to do 25% old food, 75% new food, and on day 10, a full transition to 100% food. And if they didn't like the food, you'd need to look for another one. Because they don't like everything you give them. They just don't.
You know? Yeah.
But it will prevent upset stomachs and stuff. And people that want to get them on a better diet need to do that. And that kind of, you know, it's funny, that kind of rolls into the whole Purina news this week. You read about that, yeah?
I saw this, the big high dollar foods beneficial or whatever. Is that Purina? All these big high dollar foods with all these byproducts in it that toxins, could kill toxins and everything else.
10 known toxins in Beneful. And I've known this for a very, very long time because, of course, this is the arena that I'm in. And over 3,000 pets seriously ill or dead. That's pretty big.
You know, we bought my dog Cody that one time because the vet said, well, you know, there's Beneful with the it's this and it's that. My dog turned its nose up to it. It would not eat it.
They know. And it's funny because I posted again and actually a couple of my friends said, oh my gosh, I bought a bag of that last week. And you know what? My dogs wouldn't even sniff it.
Yeah.
And they said, thank you for posting that because sometimes you don't know when the recalls are happening, but here's a great place you can go to, which is dogfoodadvisor.com and sign up for email alerts. You'll get an alert on recalled pet food, treats, you name it, for dogs and cats. And it's worth signing up. You'll be the first to know when that stuff happens.
He wouldn't touch it. I mean, we tried a Pedigree, Beneful, all this, and some of that high dollar stuff. I mean, $20 a bag food. And he would not touch it. He would not eat it.
You know, I read a statement by Purina, and I didn't like this statement. I think it said it all about the company, which was, well, 3,000, you know, animals affected as opposed to 1.5 billion cups of Beneful served a year or whatever it was, pales in comparison to the amount of food that we sell. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. Who says that?
I'm going to shut my mic off now.
I know. Isn't that terrible? That to me was like, you don't care. And I thought that was terrible for anyone's animals really sick or actually they lost their pet. So read your food labels, people. And dogfoodadvisor.com analyzes every pet food that's on the market. They are not funded by anyone, so they're not swayed by anyone. They break it down to how much protein's in it and crude this and byproducts and this and that, and they give it a rating. 1 star to 5, really easy. So you might want to go on there, just check your own food. Just make sure that there are no recalls. Sign up for that email. Worth doing, because I feel terrible for those pet parents that continue to feed that food. You imagine the guilt that they feel when they realize this is what's making them sick. That's so sad.
You know, we were worried, you know, a couple of years ago when they had all the tainted food scares and everything else, All the food was getting tainted, both cats and dogs. That's, and we were right. Worried. We went to our vets and they said, well, push comes to shove. What was it? Wild rice or white rice? Not white rice. It was a brown rice and either chicken or a little bit of hamburger.
It makes people scared.
You know?
It makes people very, very scared, you know? And if y'all going to do, you're going to like switch to a homemade diet, read up, because you could equally hurt your dog or cat by not being knowledgeable about pet food. And just to know this, and this is not knocking vets, they don't have any extensive nutritional education. Please know this. And, I mean, there are pet nutritionists around. So if you're really, really unsure, find a pet nutritionist. They'll give you recipes, you know, specific to your pet, which I think is perfect. And I think that's kind of where pet ownership's going now. I don't even like the word ownership. Pet parents is, we're treating them like our kids. You know, what's the best we can do for them? You know, so that's my little tip of the week. And my tip of the week of where you can get information on any kind of recalled pet food and treats. So just a quick recap of what my week was like last week. I actually went to an Oscar party.
You went to Hollywood?
No, I went. In my mind.
Okay.
I went to Hollywood in my mind. A friend of mine had a fantastic Oscar party. We had to go full on tuxedo, sequins. We had a red carpet, this delicious food. We had a ballot that we could vote on everything before the Oscars started.
Oh.
Champagne. It was just fantastic. I mean, just fantastic. One of the best parties I've ever been to. But it got me thinking, maybe I'll do a dog Oscar party next year.
Yeah.
Why not?
You know you know what would be cool? Maybe you could have your own version of the Sam's Super Bowl dog party, too, and a Super Bowl game here.
Totally. We could. Oh, there's so many things we could do. Oh, there's so many things we could do. But that would be fun, too. That would be really fun. But, you know, they have the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah, the Puppy Bowl.
It's hysterical. But, yeah, we need our own version of it here in town.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one or two dogs from Las Vegas actually were in the Puppy Bowl.
They were with the Nevada SPCA.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's cool.
It's brilliant exposure. I thought some of the ads were quite amazing that were positive towards animals. Let's not even talk about that other one that we don't even mention their name anymore. But the Lucy Bowl ad was very, very good, that was put out, and it was about, you know, spay neuter, adopt. It was really good. So, yeah, who knows what I'll do next year. I tell you something, nothing's out of the realm of possibilities for me. It's like the crazier, the more I'm interested in it.
That's me.
I love it. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, Mike. Let's do an early quick break.
Okay.
And then we're going to bring our guests on, because we're going to have a lot to chat about.
Okay.
You're listening to Vegas Rock Talk Radio, and we'll be right back after we've listened to some words from our sponsors.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
There's nothing more delicious and healthy than an old family recipe. And for over 50 years, our family's been creating them especially for your pets. Nutrisource Super Premium Pet Foods. Dog and cat food that's all natural, holistic, and organic. Nutrisource pet foods contain our patented Good for Life system for your pet's optimum health and well-being. So, order now. Safe quality food made by our family for your furry family members. Go to NutrisourcePetFoods.com.
From our family to yours, KLN Family Brands.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, let's return to Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Here again, your host, the rock and roll queen of dogs, Sam.
Hi, everyone. We're back. You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio with me, Sam, your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs. And we're live from Las Vegas on Vegas on the Radio, part of Lotus Broadcasting. And today's show, you're going to really, really enjoy my guest today. Just before the break, I was giving a tip on how to change from one food to the next. And that will be up on our Facebook page. And I'll probably put it on the blog, too. And hopefully that will help pet parents as they make a transition into better quality food. So let me tell you a little bit about my guests, and I hope they're listening and they're going to correct me if I make a mistake on the pronunciation of names, because I like to get it right. My guests today are AJ Richards and I'm going to say Rhea James, even though
every
time, is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Oh, good Lord. Last night I was like, if I mess up on that, that's going to be a disaster. And they are, let me tell my listeners who you are. They're author and artist illustrator of a puppy's new home series of books aimed at educating children in the ways of responsible pet ownership and respecting animals. Now, the series goes beyond beyond animals, because they have a very big educational component built into these books, and I think it's brilliant. And so we're going to find out all about how they came up with this brilliant idea and where it's going to go and how hard it was, because anything new is hard work generally. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi, thank you so much for having us, Sam.
Well, you know what? You caught me at a good time on a late Friday night when your email came in. Boom. My eyes just clapped eyes on it straight away, because I get a lot of emails, let me tell you, a lot of emails. And yours just stood out. It was a perfect pitch. I have to tell you that, because a lot of people pitch the show. Sometimes I get emails that say, I want to be on your show, and that's the pitch. So I'm not,
it doesn't
work for me at all. And that's what I loved about your thing. It was a pitch. I knew what it was. There was links to your press page. It was just fantastic. So it works, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm really happy it did. It really does pay off to work late into nights on the weekends and all of my off time.
give up your cell life entirely.
I don't even think Rhea's slept yet. She's been working on that.
It's something it's your own thing. I mean, there is no, hey, we're switching off at 5 o'clock. I mean, you just keep going, don't you? Because it becomes your passion, and you know, you want to get it out there. You sometimes feel like you're racing against the clock because you just want people to know what you're doing, you know. So I fully understand that. I fully understand that. So where are you located right now? California, is that right?
Yes, we're in Berkeley, but we're actually, you know, right outside in Albany. But in the Berkeley area is where a puppy's new home is located.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So let's start by you telling our listeners your website, your social media links, everywhere that they can find you on the internet.
Okay, well, you can find us at www.dogbooksforkids.com. We were pretty happy that no one had that name, and so everything else is easy from there. We're on Instagram at artistandauthor@dogbooksforkids.com, and you can also find us on Twitter at dogbooksforkids.com. So we keep it nice and simple for that.
Yes, that really helps a lot, because, you know, you heard me rattle off a million things this morning about my show. I wasn't fortunate to get the same name on everything, so it certainly makes it easier when it's all streamlined, that's for sure. So when was this, like, aha, you know, epiphany moment that, gosh, we need to do this? We need to write this series of books. When did it happen? Have you been friends for a long time?
Yeah, you know, I used to live in Omaha, Nebraska, and I've only moved to California about a year and a half ago. And I grew up, my aunt runs a dog kennel, and she always found homes for rescued pets and animals and got them saved. And so I was around that as a young child, and we had horses and all kinds of dogs and rescued cats, hamsters, fish, I mean, anything. And so I've just always been around animals. And then after college, I started working for a nonprofit in the area. Campfire USA was what it was originally, and then it's now completely kids in Omaha, and we work with at-risk youth and in schools and with parents and education components. And so when I was doing all of that work, I just really found that I wanted to combine the two together.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the curriculum, and I would always chat with the librarian in the school that I was at and just talking to her about where what was missing and where this need was, and it just kind of came to me.
Wow.
And so, yeah, isn't, that's kind of how it got.
It's interesting, isn't it, how you've managed to marry the two together?
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I think dogs can be the best teachers,
yeah.
You know, and so what's a great, I mean, a kid will listen to an animal talking. I'm
yeah.
pretty sure I did that when I was little, so
yeah.
I think it's a lot better. They don't want to hear parents or adults telling them what to do, but they'll listen to a dog.
They'll listen to a dog. My dogs don't listen to me. I listen to them.
Definitely.
Yeah, they don't want to learn anything from me, but I do learn things from them, that's for sure. I've learned how to participate in ultimate supreme comfort by the way they lounge around. I'm like,
it's
okay,
so
I've learned how to relax because of how they are. Well, I think it's brilliant that you actually had this very early exposure to animals through your aunt, because mm-hmm. it all kind of ties in with your book series. And mm-hmm. as I say, when I started to read more and more about the two of you, I thought, gosh, you know, they're onto something pretty big here that's going to really, really blow up. I mean, I've seen tons of books written, you know, about animals and educating kids and stuff like that through animals, but not anything quite as I would say comprehensive as what yours is. And so you, AJ, you've worked with, do you still work with at-risk youth after-school programs?
No, I don't work in schools now. Once I moved to California, I kind of stepped out and into more the publishing realm. But I'm in contact with the head of after school programs for the state of California, so it's in the works for me to get back into the schools. And then we also did a Kickstarter that we were successfully funded in December.
One of the packages that
was purchased was for us to take our books and do a reading in a classroom and give the kids all of our books. So I've got that in the works for next month. I've got a teacher in mind in Berkeley that I'm going to go to the classroom, and then I'm going to let Rhea tell you a little bit about when she was in San Antonio for Thanksgiving. She did a little dog talk with some kids as well
nice.
In the community. So we're definitely getting back out there again.
Now, Rhea, I read you clearly have a very entrepreneurial spirit, that at 15, at 15
yes.
you started a catering company. Is that true?
Yes, it is. I went to the high school that I went to was a business school.
Right.
And so that was, we had different academies, an Academy of Travel and Tourism and one of Finance. And so I was like, I think I'll go into travel and tourism. And I became a travel agent because that was everybody's job. I was like, this is boring. Let me do restaurants. And our school actually had a restaurant. So my teacher, Mrs. Bradley, was like, you really like this. You really know what you're doing. I was like, well, yeah, my grandmother owned restaurants. And she was like, okay. And so I became the chef in the kitchen, you know, our school kitchen when I was, I guess, 16. But we started doing all the catering for the school and kind of started there. And it went on to co-owning restaurants and maintaining my catering company. And so it's been, yeah, pretty fun.
That is spectacular. I mean, it just really is spectacular. I don't know if you saw on the news last week the young girl at, I think she was 13, that started the babysitting company.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. just hired herself. Was it a CEO? And I'm just like, wow, that's amazing. I mean, we all wish we could all have done that when we were younger, but I think I was just having way too much fun at that age.
That was my problem, too.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that we're trying to do is, you know, empowering youth. And so when we do these dog talk lessons with kids, one of the things that I've noticed when I've worked with kids and doing our dog talk lessons and doing behavior and stuff like that, I always have at least one or two older kids, and I try to empower them
yeah.
to help educate the younger kids. And so it's this really great, like, feeding off of each other of knowledge, and the older kids, you know, telling the kids, hey, well, actually, it's like this, and it's like this, and this is how you should properly do this, and it's pretty incredible. So I'm all about empowering our youth to do greater things, because all ties into, you know, their future goals.
Now, isn't there, I know there's a school here in Vegas, and I've forgotten the name of it, but I think they do something similar with that, where it's not all kids at the same age and the same level in the same classes. So you might get a 7, 8, and a 9-year-old in the same class. Well, of course, what you know at 7 is very different from what you know at 9. But what they do is they have the older kids then teach the little kids mm-hmm. within the class so that they fully understand the process as well. And then
mm-hmm.
once it moves up, you know, those little kids become those older kids, and they then get, and I just think that's a brilliant way to educate. So it's clearly something that very similar to what you're doing, you know, where you're saying,
right.
you're going to be the teacher, And I think that's amazing.
We did it all the time in the after-school programs that we had as well. You know, the older kids would partner up and mentor with the younger kids. Kids really love having jobs and that line of responsibility and all of the character you can build just from empowering them. It's a great thing, and it definitely prepares them to be leaders in the future. And
I think kids like
it's really important.
And I think kids like structure. I really do. I mean, you know the kids that don't have the structure. They're the ones that's hanging on my fence home. And you know what I mean? And it's like, you say, you need a job. You need something to do. You know, you need some structure.
You do. It's true. Just like, it's very similar to pets. They do have structure. They want to know when they're going to get fed. They want to know what's coming up next. They want to have a routine. It's really good. It keeps anxiety levels down.
Yeah.
And it's healthy.
It does. It is healthy. You're right. It's really, really healthy. I think a lot of people think, you know, a couple of walks a day and that's enough for their pets. But the stimulation is really, really important, whether it's, you know, playtime in the afternoon or whether it's doing some basic commands or, you know, or just cuddle time.
Yeah. Consistency is very important.
Yeah. Yep. They need that structure. They need stimulation. And like, you know, my dogs, I'm saying they're not always well behaved, but I can tell if we've been super, super busy, if we've not been able to get as many walks in as we normally do, I can see a difference in their behavior. Totally see a difference in their behavior. So, you know, when they're stimulated physically and mentally, they're good dogs. And I would think it's exactly the same thing for kids. I don't have children myself, so I can't always say from experience, you know, my kids have fur. Now, Raya, I love your illustrations. They're really, really lovely. And clearly, they're going to pull kids and their parents into reading the books. But I know illustrations, I think that's a big part of that visual stimulation as well, to actually get kids interested. How are kids responding to the illustrations? Because you've got quite a few going on there.
Well, you know, kids really like them. I think the biggest thing that I've been noticing is that they're asking me, how can I draw that? Can I draw that too?
And so, I see another book series. I see another book series coming along.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's kind of cool is when I decided I wanted to choose the certain art style I chose, because I worked in lots of different art styles, you know, from like really realistic to whimsical to cutesy to simple. And so when I picked this style, I wanted to pick a style that kids, they could sit in the classroom with me and learn how to draw it themselves if they wanted to.
As
another form of education.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the fun part. Kids are loving it. Kids are loving to color the pictures and, you know, actually try to trace them. So that's really fun.
Oh, that's just like an added bonus, isn't it? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Again, like you say, another educational component. I was doing something the other day with my husband, and he said, I forgot what he said to me. It was something like, oh, you're really good at drawing. We've been married 20 years. And I went, I have an O-level in art. Where have you been in 20 years? He didn't know this about me. No, but it's lovely to be creative. I really enjoy being creative. And I'm sure kids feel exactly the same way as well. You know, when they get to actually, like you say, how do I do this? What's the technique on this? How do I color this in? And, you know, making it their own, I would say, more than anything.
And that's why it's so exciting. Raya's building our website, and it's going to be a very interactive website. And one of the things is we have coloring pages, and then she's going to do field guides and have this art world interactive piece, that, you know, is alongside. So we're really excited to get that going. But I obviously will let Raya talk more about that, since I am completely computer illiterate.
Now, Raya, how long does it take typically, or has it taken, you know, to say from the beginning to end of this one book, this is how long it took me to do these illustrations? Well, what kind of time frame are you looking at?
Well, when I'm not as busy with my other books, I can get one done in about a month.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, but the last book that we worked on, I decided to try to change things up a little bit and really bolster the look of the books. So the book Max, which is about to come in, which I'm not sure if you've received any of the pictures of that book yet or not.
No.
And if not, okay, cool, I'll have to send them to you.
Please
just so you
do.
Can check it out. The illustration style, I went ahead and I bolstered it. I kind of upped the style, you know, made it look a little bit nicer and cleaner.
Right.
And so it took a little, you know, it kind of took like an extra week longer to get it done.
Wow.
but, you know, I think it's worth it.
Yes.
Because you want to make sure you have something that parents also find visually stimulating.
Yeah.
So yeah, but about, you know, about a month, you know, about 4 to 6 weeks maybe.
Now, and like you were saying, that is if you're not overly busy with your other stuff. I mean, that's a lot. So how many books are you planning on writing and illustrating?
Well, we have, well, there's over 168 dog breeds, so we plan on doing.
I think I just fell off my chair.
Now is the other reason why I chose the illustration style that I chose. It was because I said, let me choose something that we want to be able to do. We want to be able to do more than 12 books a year.
Yes.
You know, but if that's what we do, if that's all we can afford to do, that's fine.
That's one a month.
Books a year.
But
what we're doing is we want to be able to work with other people within the research and the writing and with the in the illustration of the book as well. I picked a style that I knew that I would be able to hire someone else to say, hey, I need you as a colorist, or hey, I need you as an inker or a penciler to work on board with me on getting these books done. So that, you know, that way we could bring more people into the project as it grows. But at the time being, you know, we're gonna do what we can, with one another.
But you know, that was a really good forethought, because, you know, you're starting to think about growth already. And like you say, you know, there's only one of you, and that could be, you know, that could be really, really labor intensive. I think that was a really, really smart move, really smart move. And it's funny, because I think sometimes people write a book or, you know, start a product or whatever, and then they kind of don't think beyond that one thing, and then before they know it, they've grown and they're not prepared for the growth, you know. And I think that's what is difficult for a lot of people that start these kind of new ventures. So how many breeds did you say again? 168.
There's over 168.
Good
and,
Lord.
And you know, and just to add to what you're saying, I think because of the fact that I come from a restaurant background and restaurant management background, I had to look at things from a production perspective.
Right.
And not just production, but as, you know, as This isn't just like a children's series, you know, this is something that's also, that is dedicated to each breed, to each of these, like, 168 plus breeds.
Wow.
So we had to look at it from that really smart business perspective, not just as a, this is a cute story about, you know, about Louie or about, you know, this is something that we need for every book series, and that, you know, every family should have the whole point is every family should have the book in their home.
Yes.
Like every dog needs a home, you know, every home needs this Puppy's New Home book series.
I agree with you, because I think what you've managed to do with this book is you've managed to marry being a responsible, you know, for your pet, you know, no matter what age you are, how to look after them, how to groom them, how to walk them, how to feed them. But I think what you've also added in, which is what I really liked about your series, is that true educational component. So we're going to teach you how to feed your dog, and you're going to need to measure the food. So now we're talking about fractions and addition. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is brilliant. I'm going to tell you that. It's brilliant.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And then, you know, like you said, you talk about the breeds. Where do the breeds come from? So now we've got a geography lesson in there, and we've got a history lesson, because, you know, we know the breeds go back a long, long way for a lot of breeds. Mm-hmm. So you've managed to insert that and inject that into the books as well. So I think any parent that's interested in picking up these books, like you say, it's not just this cute story. A cute story brings you in, and the names mm-hmm. of these cute dogs, but it also gives you that responsibility component and how to be kind and be respectful to animals, but also those great school lessons within each component. I think it's genius. Right. That is your genius.
Yeah, they were created for educators. I mean, that's when I came up with the concept. The books are written with third grade vocabulary, and there's glossaries in the back. I think, you know, the one thing I learned was that kids know how to sound out words, but they don't know what they mean.
Right.
So every book has a glossary, and that helps the parents. I mean, how many times do kids ask, why? Well, what's this mean? What's this? Now parents have a guide. Well, that's what, you know, that's what a city is. This is what, you know, dog brushing is. And
yep.
So we really needed to give parents the platform to educate their children. I think that empowers parents as well.
Yeah. Well,
they're going to bring a new family member in.
Yeah.
You need to do the research. You need to decide if this is going to be the best person.
I can guarantee your parents reading those books are getting an eye-opening education too, for sure. There's only one thing I wish about your books, yeah? Is that you'd done them 10 years ago. Because you wonder what I was going to say then. Just because, like, right now, I mean, how many irresponsible pet owners do we see? I mean, a lot. And mm-hmm. and so I hate to say it, but for lack of a better word, kind of clueless about breed-specific traits and dietary needs and simple training techniques and safety, etc. And, you know, it just would have prevented so many pets being dumped for those simple reasons. You know, like, oh, they chew something, or they go to the bathroom in the house. It would actually prevent dumping them for those fixable reasons just by reading your books, like, oh, this is how we train a dog, you know, and how we value them, You know, because I'm going to tell you, if you value your dog, you're not dumping it down at a shelter. You just aren't, you know. So that's why the only thing I just, at least 10 years ago. But you know what? I think what you're doing, for me, I think your books have a very clear twofold purpose, and that is educating kids now and for the future. So I can't think of anything more valuable than that can be carried from childhood into adulthood, you know, which is education and respect for animals. I mean, it's you're setting up the future, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So I tell you what we're going to do. We are going to take a quick break because I have more questions. Of course I do. And we're going to continue right after the break. You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio with me, Sam, your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs.
Amazing Pet Expos is coming to a city near you. Admission is always free, and your pet is welcome. Shopping, adoptions, free nail trims, discounted shots and microchipping, agility, a pet costume contest, and much more. Plus, meet the guys from Animal Planet's hit TV series Tank and Pit Boss. Online at AmazingPetExpos.com.
Bring your pets to the Pet Expo!
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, also known as the Pet Lady. I travel from coast to coast to pet trade shows and consumer events to scout out what the hottest, hippest, and most unique pet products are on the planet, bringing you tips and tricks from top veterinarians, groomers, trainers on how to safely travel and live happily with your pets. The Pet Lady will be in a city near you, showing off the latest and greatest tech, pet gadgets, cozy comforts, and fab gift ideas for man's and woman's best friend. You can learn more at thepetlady.net or connect socially and tweet with me at Pet Lady World.
Hi, this is Tim Link, host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Join me as we feature interviews with best-selling pet-related authors, award-winning writers, and journalists, and bloggers. And we'll tell stories about the animals and interesting topics about the animals in our lives. Each of the interviews will give you a first-hand knowledge about why the authors and writers chose a particular story, what the feature animals meant to them, and what has become of those animals that we've talked about. And of course, I'll also share stories from my own books, blogs, articles, and experiences. So be sure to join me and the writers and authors on Animal Rights.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Vegas Rock Dog Radio continues. The phone lines are open at 702-483-4444. Now, here again, your host, Sam.
And we're back. You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Me, Sam, your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs. And I have my fabulous guests here, if you were listening earlier or if you're just tuning in, AJ Richards and Rhea James, and they've written this, authored, it's a much nicer word, authored and illustrated a series of books called A Puppy's New Home. Very educational for children, it will be for parents, and they're marrying real school lessons with, I would say, practical how to look after a pet and how to respect a pet. Is that a good way to describe it, ladies, would you say?
Yes, I think that's a great way to describe it.
You know, absolutely. Tell everybody your website.
Hit the nail on the head.
I rehearsed that one. Will you tell everyone your website again for anyone that's just listening in?
Our website is at dogbooksforkids.com.
It's easy, isn't it? That's an easy one. I saw that like your Kickstarter campaign went way over what you asked for, and I thought that was great because obviously people believe in what you were wanting to do. I bet you were excited. How long did it start to raise the money from when you started to actually getting funded?
It was about 30 days, so our Kickstarter was. We did a lot of prep in the meantime. I think that was probably the most insane 30 days that I've ever encountered.
I would have been checking Kickstarter every 5 minutes. You know what? And I think it's an endorsement that people think this is a great product that you're putting out there. Oh, are we still there?
Yeah, there.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, we're still there. I thought,
yeah, we're here.
For a minute, I'm like, oh my gosh, I lost him. I know you really believe in proper education in our communities, and through that, it can lead to healthier dogs and families. And I also know it's your hope that just this simple act of reading books, you know, will help decrease the number of dogs that do end up in these shelters. Because I think what it's going to do is let people know, value them. They're meant to be in the home. They're meant to be on your couch. You're meant to, you know what I mean? Those kind of things. And I think sometimes it is about just changing the way people view animals. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say that's exactly what it is?
I'd say that's exactly it. I think research comes with everything that we do. And if you wouldn't bring in somebody to a family, you know, that you know nothing about, or you're not prepared to, and, you know, knowing what to expect when you get a breed that, you know, it's very active. Let's say you're a couch potato and you don't like to go running. Well, then don't get a lab.
Yeah.
Don't get a golden retriever because you're not going to be cared really well. And then there are going to be problems. And we don't want that. So, you know, there are breeds that are perfectly fine that don't need, that will fit into a person's lifestyle, into the family beautifully. And we just want people to take that extra step and be responsible before they just think, oh, that dog's cute, let's take it home.
Yeah, it looks cute, it sounds cute. I agree with you because, I don't know, I mean, I never buy a single excuse why people dump an animal, you know, unless you're dead, mm-hmm. unless you died, or you went to war, and we have brilliant organizations that will actually find you a semi-permanent, you know, foster until you come back, or you go into hospice, you know, something like that. I don't buy any reason. I mean, I just really don't buy any reason at all. You know, you know the one that gets me the most? We're moving. I'm like, people move to other parts of the world with their pets.
I think that's the number one reason, actually, that dogs do end up in shelters is people relocating and moving. According to the statistics that I saw, that was one of the top.
It's terrible.
But, you know, I've moved before and... Yep. And I figured it out and was able to bring my pet. So
exactly.
I'm not going to say anything about other people, definitely, but I made arrangements that worked for moving.
Yeah, I mean, it's not difficult. You just figure it out. It's just not difficult, you know. I've already said if I get a second home and it's back in England, I'm going on the QE2 with my dogs. I've already planned it out. They got luxury kennels and they get their own ambassador and they get their own bed with their name embroidered on it, and that's how we'll get over there. There's just nothing that would stop me. But you know what I think a lot of this is, you know, you see people do it and you think it's acceptable. You know, or you see, you say, oh, I have to put my dog down because I don't have the money for that. And people think that's acceptable. I mean, there's so many workarounds anyway to get surgeries paid for now. I mean, there's care credit. There's, like you say, a Kickstarter. It's amazing what you can do now. So for me, I think a lot of people see what is kind of classed as the norm, which is, oh, you move, it's okay to leave your pet. And they think it's acceptable to do that. So I think it's telling people, no, this is not acceptable. It's not what we do. You know, you move and you take your pets with you. I mean, the excuse of, you know, oh, my apartment's not pet friendly. Let me tell you, every city, and we have a lot here in town, are pet friendly. There's no excuse. You know, just, you know, take the effort. Or did you really just not want the dog in the first place? You know what I mean? So it's frustrating, though, because it's heartbreaking. You know, you see that. So I would think with that big educational component, and, hey, do you ever come component about moving in your books? Like, oh!
Well, I'm glad you asked. We actually, so the fourth book that we have coming out is Finn the Rescue Dog, and it's about about a mixed breed dog.
Right.
And we actually had a contest to find the star of our star.
Oh,
and,
have fun.
And have people like enter their dog, and then the most voted dog got to become the star of our book anyway.
That's
and it's
great.
From our friends in Australia, Where Pets Are Found. It's an organization people can post listings for missing dogs or found dogs. Anyway, but in that book, Finn the Rescue Dog, we go over the different reasons that dogs are abandoned, that dogs are made homeless. And you know, it's such an important book because it's not like all the other books where they're going to focus specifically on breeds. This book does focus on a breed, but it's a book that every family can have.
Yes.
Because it's talking about, you know, these are things that could lead to having to give up a dog, like not spaying and neutering, not having thought about it before you bought the dog. I mean, there's a fantastic line that AJ wrote that says, I wish they would have asked the landlord if pets were allowed before they asked a member of the family. You know,
Yeah. That just gave me those.
Books, The book's a little, it made me tear up when I read, but in, you know, in that kind of that sort of way where it's like, there's this little sad, but there's these educational bits and these little learning pieces that really uplift the story.
You know, sometimes, I always believe this, you know, that sometimes when, say, it's a book or a movie, it evokes some kind of like an emotional reaction, it often springs people into action. So that for me, when you said that from the dog's perspective, gosh, I wish I'd asked the landlord, you know, if I was going to be able to come and live with you kind of thing. It struck a chord with me. Now, hopefully it was struck a chord with anyone else. It's like, oh, never thought about, you know. So I think that is such an important lesson to learn. I'm so glad it's in your books. You have no idea. I'm so glad.
And this book, I mean, it was incredible. You know, I read it after AJ sent it over to me. Because we worked, AJ and I worked together on our process. Weekly, we'll sit down and up with like kind of a puppet book that kind of like, we kind of just square the story out. Like,
yes.
This is where we want to go with the story. And then AJ goes over and does her research and, you know, does all the research and does a really great writing. And, you know, she just sent me over the first draft. And I was like, this is just fantastic. Oh. You know? I mean, because she was going over issues of Stranger Danger. And,
yes.
And she's, I mean, that, I honestly, quite honestly, that was one of the thing that stuck out to me the most. And I read the passage to my mom. And my mom, she whimpered, but she was like, this is incredible. This is what kids need. Because what we talk about is properly greeting a dog. And
important.
There's a scene in the story where a man greets the dog properly. He's actually not a friend. He's not a friend at all. And, you know, the kids learn about that. So it's just a really well-written story. And this is the story that we really want to make sure every family has. Because it's so important. Every aspect of that book is incredibly important.
It really
and all
is.
Leading up to keeping dogs at shelters. Yeah. Because, and it talks about homelessness among children as well. You know, that's another issue in America that is often also ignored. You know, you have homeless dogs and you have homeless.
Yes, you do. That's right. And often, you know, these people are living on the street together in their cars. You know, I mean, I have a friend, thankfully I have a friend who has an organization called Incredible, incredible.org, and she has a street program for those specific people. You know, they're on the street, they're with their pets, the kids are with them too. And it's an important issue because some people want to turn away from it and pretend it doesn't exist, but it does have to be addressed most definitely, you know? Wow. The talks you can cover is just extensive, isn't it? And I guess socially, as things happen socially, that you've heard that one before. Oh, we need to write out that, you know, now we've got another issue to deal with.
But, it's limitless. It's limitless, which is what's so great about it.
Yeah. And you know what? I know you do a thing with understanding body language of pets. And I really like that too, particularly for children. Because, you know, you've seen them. I get freaked out. I have three dogs and I'm like, no, there's a two-year-old running up to me. You know, how can I stop them? You know,
it's true. But, I've had the same thing, and it's really up to each of those children and warn them. And, you know, the dog's been blamed if something's been.
Yes.
And that's really unfortunate.
Yes, that's right. It's an instant disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is quite scary. But yeah, I mean, and I can't tell you how many times. Well, I took, it's kind of funny. Adults need this lesson too. I took my my Mr. Twix into the Apple store, and I'm socializing him. I found him in the desert a year ago, so you know we've got some baby steps going on there. So I take him into the Apple store, and the girl comes to sit down to help us with my phone. And I said, "Oh, by the way, he's don't pet him because he's a little unsure and a little bit nervous." And the second later, she went to pet him on his head, and he nearly took a finger off.
And my God!
And she went, "Oh." And I said, it's better not to pet him. And she went, I completely heard something else from you. I said, yeah, she was apologetic. But yeah, it was just weird. It was like, no, don't touch him. I'll touch him. I mean, a second later, it freaked me out. I was like, I wasn't expecting that. Of course, everybody looked around in the Apple store, like, what's going on? You know, but people don't listen.
It's crazy. My family, our family dog is a bull mastiff.
Right.
It's actually an African boar bull. They come from a similar family. But anyway, they actually just had to give it back to the family that they got it from because it just kept knocking people over. It just was not socialized properly.
Right.
And, you know, and at the same time, the trainer had actually told my family that, you know, that dog's not easy to socialize. It's not really a people dog.
Right.
And you know what? I was surprised by it because when she's around our family, she just lays on our lap, you know, big, heavy, you know, 100-pound thing.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was really challenging. And I know that was really disheartening for my family that they had to actually, you know, give the dog back to the family that they got it from because they'd had it since she was a puppy.
Oh, man.
Just because of the fact that she just wouldn't stop, you know, jumping on people that she didn't like, you know, she's like, oh, who's this person?
Oh, my. You know what? It's just a little bit of planning, a bit of forethought and some education is going to serve people so well, you know. Mm-hmm. And I, like you say, I'd love to see your books in every home, in the library. I want to see them in the schools and your reading program. I just think you're onto something that's going to be so valuable. Now, listen, we've got a couple of minutes left. Say your website one more time and where we can find you on social media, again, for anyone that's just tuning in.
Okay, you can find us at dogbooksforkids.com. You can also find all of our books on Amazon under a puppy's new home. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at artist at dogbooksforkids and author at dogbooksforkids, as well as on Instagram.
Well, I just see huge things happening in your future. You obviously already have some big things happening. I just think there's just so many benefits to this series that I can't see how any school wouldn't be interested in it. You know, I'd love to see it in the libraries. We've got 2 minutes left. I'd love to see you. I want to see you on some TV appearances because I really do think you're onto something, most definitely. But I'm really grateful that we managed to do this interview. We got this technicality figured out in the end, you know, the technical issue that we had in the beginning. But I want to stay in touch with you guys because I think what I want to do is write a blog post about you because I think more people need to know about what you're doing. Now, will you be coming to Blogpause, the big pet bloggers conference in Nashville in May?
We haven't decided what our plans are. We're still finishing up giving all the Kickstarter rewards. We want to make sure that we take care of the people that got us this far first, and so we kind of strategically are like, okay, we're going to make sure that this gets done, and then as soon as that's done, we're making our plans for the future. Oh. And so if I could just give a shout out to every
yes.
companies that were really supportive to us. It was Amy Jessel at Shaping Youth and Annette at Where Pets Are Found, and the entire Dunbar family with Purist Puppy and Dog Training, MB Jungle Foundation, and Yappy Hour TV. They've just been great partners, and our show, our books are going to be on Yappy Hour TV in Australia.
Yes, I know who they are.
So we're really excited. Yeah.
Well, I want to say a huge...
We'd love to go to any event, so please email us. All the events.
Oh, I'm going to be in touch with you. I'm not going away. Well, I want to say a big thank you. I need to wrap my show up. I've got like 10 seconds to do it. Thanks, ladies, for coming on the show. And remember,
everyone, you
can help a pet in need, either rescue, adopt, donate, volunteer, or share their information. Rescue your next family member and replace the world. Replace the word. Shop with adopt. I want to thank AJ and Rhea for being on the show today. We're going to put all the links up on Facebook. And that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening in. It's been a fun hour of pets, people, and pop culture. And I'm Sam, your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs. And we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Kiss your dogs every night.
Let's talk pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other hosts or advertisers on the Pet Life Radio Network.